ओम गिरिजमिनंद अंजन श्लोकय चक्षुसुनिमित्तं तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः श्री चैतन्य मनोविष्टं स्थापितं देवैतरे सायं कपदमयं ददति सापदन्तिकं मन्त्रकौपृथिव्यश्च कृपसिन्धुमेवेभ्यश्च प्रतिचरं प्रमेयो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमः It's been speaking about one of the most deepest pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan. The pastime Brahma Vimohana Lila, where Lord Brahma steals away the calves and the boys with a particular purpose in his mind. And the purpose in his mind was to test Krishna. Now Brahma is more or less omniscient in this world. Practically speaking, he knows everything that is going on. He's able to focus his consciousness on anything in this world and be able to pierce to its essence. But yet, he wanted to test Krishna. And this was inappropriate, obviously, because Krishna was playing with his cowherd boyfriends, and they had been taking out the calves, and they had sat down by the river after the killing of Agasura, after Krishna killed Agasura, and they were enjoying such a sweet picnic. Everything was perfect. The night before, Krishna had set up or made a plan with the boys and spoke to his mother and had the boys speak to their mothers that on the following day everyone should take extra food with them in bundles, and that they would sit in a wonderful place, and instead of coming back for lunch as they usually did, they would stay out for a picnic. And Mother Yashoda wasn't very inclined for Krishna to stay out, because her love for Krishna was so complete that even a moment without him filled her with great anxiety. She was constantly worrying about him. How is my boy going to eat? Worrying about this, what's going to happen if he's walking in the forest and some thorn comes. My boy's lotus feet, they're so soft and tender, they're reddish in color. And she was always sending out, especially later when Krishna started taking out the cows, she was always sending out messengers to find out how Krishna was doing, and they would bring food, because all day long she would be cooking food for Krishna. All day long she was meditating upon Krishna. And this is the nature of the true lovers of Krishna, especially the nature of the residents of Vrindavan, especially in the nature of the followers of Mahaprabhu. They constantly meditate upon Krishna, his name, form, qualities, and pastimes. It is spontaneous for them. It is natural for them. That is what it means to actually be a devotee. And we saw this quality in Srila Prabhupada too, although he didn't always talk about Krishna. And interesting thing enough, it's almost as if he talked about Krishna when he first began preaching in the United States, even more than he would in 1966. He would talk about Krishna in 67. He would talk about Krishna more directly, and then later on he would talk more about the process of Krishna consciousness. But Prabhupada was so fixed and spontaneously attracted to glorify Krishna and to spread Krishna's glories throughout the world. He was continuously engaged, completely engaged in that way, and and spontaneously engaged in that way. One time, even in Japan, some devotees had brought him, a devotee, Karanda Prabhu, had come from Los Angeles, and he had brought some pictures, photographs of Rukmini Dorkadish, of the deities that Prabhupada installed in New Dwarka in Los Angeles. And so one devotee, Karanda Prabhu, had come, and so many letters came to Prabhupada. He brought them in photographs of Rukmini Dorkadish. So Prabhupada kept the envelope there. And one day, I was with His Holiness Trivikrama. I was sitting outside Prabhupada's room, and suddenly the bell rang. And what we were doing, we were talking about that Trivikrama's brother was a Christian, and he had sent Trivikrama while he was in Japan a pamphlet, a tract that explained how so many Westerners were turning to Hinduism and turning to Hare Krishna, but here was one Christian, one Hindu PhD who had turned to Christianity. And in that tract, he was criticizing Hinduism for its worshipping of deities. Such a brilliant and time-honored technology, the worship of deities, and you know, criticizing that. And so interesting, as I'm most familiar with seeing it in Vrindavan, but people continuously, all day long, every day practically speaking, regardless of the season, they pass through the temple room and they see Krishna and Balaram, they see Sisi Gornatai, they see Sisi Radhishamasunda, and they are so touched. And it's so such a spiritual, a deeply religious spiritual experience. They give donations, they say their prayers, they offer prayers and say some words, and they pray whatever they have to pray, whatever words come to their consciousness, they bring those before the deities, and the kirtan is going on, and the deities are decorated with flowers, and the atmosphere is just so obviously not of this world, and it is so appealing, it is so attractive. And people criticize that, saying it's not real, because in our religious scripture it says that we shouldn't do this and we shouldn't do that. But what transcendental affection this awakens in the devotees, and this is the purpose of religious practices. It's to evoke transcendental attraction and affection for the Supreme Lord. That is the purpose of religion, of all. That is the purpose of our life. But the religious path is supposed to awaken this in us. And if it brings us in a different direction from this, it is improper. Actually, so in any case, Trivikrama Raj had this tract in his hand, this pamphlet about the Hindu PhD who had become a Christian. So Prabhupada's bell rang, and we went in to see Prabhupada. And when we got there, Trivikrama showed the tract to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada just left, and he said, he's PhD, but still he does not understand anything. And then he took out a picture for one of the photographs of Rukmini Dorkadish, and it was so beautiful. And especially in Srila Prabhupada's presence, because he carried with him such an atmosphere of Sri Vrindavan Dham, that everything was rarefied and special, and everything was it was spiritual, transcendental. It was clearly transcendental. So he took out the picture, photograph, and he said, without the slightest bit of anxiety, without the slightest bit of defensiveness, just sort of leaned back and laughed and said, anyway, just showed us the picture. Anyway, our God is the nicest God. And that is the definition of God, practically speaking, the nicest God, the most beautiful, the most attractive, the most charming, the most wealthy, the most strong, Sadaishwarya Purna. And to focus our consciousness upon him with great affection, with great desires for service. This is the purpose not only of religion, but this is the purpose of life. And this is the only methodology of removing all the contaminations of Kali Yuga from our heart, our consciousness. Bhagavan Purushottama. To focus our consciousness on Vidaisto Kuru Keshavam. This is what the recommendation is. Savat Manara Jan from Sukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Prakrit. Maharaj Prakrit had asked the question in the beginning of the 12th canto. He had heard about the contaminations of Kali Yuga and how difficult Kali Yuga was, and how everything, every place, and even every individual is so contaminated by Kali Yuga. And he said, Maharaj Prakrit said, where is the shelter then? What can one do? Where can one go? If every place is contaminated, if everything, object is contaminated, if every person is contaminated by Kali Yuga, what can one do? Pumsam kalikritam dosham. Dravya deshatma sambhavam videsto. Yes. Savam hariti vidyosto bhagavan purushottama. That savam, all the contaminations that exist in every place, in every person, in everything, can be moved, removed. Savam, all of them, hariti, removed, killed. Vidyasto, by putting within one's heart, placing Krishna within the heart, within one's consciousness, within one's mind. This is the methodology. And then, of course, by chanting Krishna's names, Kaleha Dosha Nateira Dharastya Kumahakana, by chanting Krishna's names, all of those contaminations. This is the best, simplest way to place Krishna in the heart. But unless we hear about Krishna, we won't be able to do it. You know, the material energy is so strong. Oh, it is so strong. In 1 second, it can just flip us right over, turn us upside down. It is so powerful. Mama Maya Dharatyaya. It is, practically speaking, impossible for us to overcome unless we put the son of Krishna, not the son of Krishna, meaning Pradumna, or Aniruddha, Aniruddha's grandson, or who's another son of Krishna? Charu, another son of Krishna, Samba. Yes. So, I just said that. Did you know that before I said it? You know why he was called Samba? Because Sa-amba. He was always with his mata. He was always with his mother. He was you know who Samba's mother it was? I bet you do. You know who Samba's mother's husband was? Who was Krishna's son, whose name begins with S-A-M? Samba?
Yes.
And who was another one of Krishna's sons?
Arjuna.
Who?
Arjuna.
Pratumya is the first son. Who else?
Nanda.
Who?
Nanda.
Nanda, yes. You know any more? So somehow or another, we can place even Krishna's sons in our heart, then the sun of their presence will dispel all darkness. Krishna Suryasam Maya Haya Andhaka. All darkness will be dispelled, all the contaminations of Kali Yuga. So Maya is so powerful. So Brahma, who knows everything, he even saw Krishna enter the mouth of Agasura. And then after Krishna entered the mouth of Agasura, because all the devatas were there, because they were so frightened of this Agasura, he was terrible. He was terrible. Powerful demon of sorrow. So they were watching the pastime of Krishna killing Agasura, and they saw that Krishna, the coward boys entered the mouth, and the calves entered the mouth, and they were playing and clapping because they had no fear, because they knew, they had such confidence in Krishna. They knew that Krishna would always protect them, regardless of whatever situation, whatever danger manifests before them. They had such confidence that Krishna would always care for them. So they walked in to the mouth of Agasura, and then Krishna walked into that mouth. And the coward boys had passed away. And usually when Krishna performed his pastimes in Vrindavan, he killed the demons, not by exhibiting any special form or special potency. He did it or using any weapons. He killed them in such a way that the devotees of Vrindavan, their mood for him wouldn't be shifted, thinking of his powers and his opulences as Aishwarya. But when Krishna was in the mouth of Agasura, no one could see him. So therefore he expanded himself. He got bigger and bigger, and the life air of Agasura could not exit in any other way. So his eyes bulged, and his soul came out. And then it waited outside for Krishna to come out. And then that soul entered into Krishna. And the devatas, including Lord Brahma, saw this. So Lord Brahma even saw Krishna kill this powerful demon that no one else could kill. But yet, he thought, how is this boy, how is it possible that this coward boy is my master? He's so little. He's beautiful. He's so cute, but he's so little. And he's wandering around the fields in Praja that are so sweet. But he's wandering around without his shoes, and he's holding yogurt and rice in his left hand. So what happened that made Brahma doubt that he was the Supreme Lord? So Śrīla Jīva Gosvāmī explains that the picnic that Krishna had, the fact that Krishna was performing such pastimes, just playing with his friends in such a way they were laughing together, playing together as they herded the cows, and they sat down by the bank of the Yamuna near the sage. There was so much open space and the breezes were so sweet coming off of the lotus flowers that filled the river. Everything was so sweet, and the boys were just playing with each other, and they were teasing each other, and they were putting food in each other's mouth. So the one verse says in the section that Krishna's Jankya book that he is the enjoyer of all sacrifices, and the food and the preparations that go into feeding the Supreme Lord during the time of sacrifice is so meticulously done, carefully done according to the prescriptions of the Shastra. And there, he who is the object of the worship of every sacrifice, the ultimate object of all the Vedic sacrifices performed by the most qualified persons in the most rigorous way, he's playing by the riverbank, sitting on the sand of the river, and all the boys on their picnics, they're taking food and eating it, and it's the first eating it, and then saying, "Oh, Krishna, this is so good, you should also try it." And they put the food in Krishna's mouth, and they're teasing Krishna, and Krishna's, and bumblebees are coming around Krishna's face because they want to taste the sweetness of Krishna. And Krishna says, "Go away, go away. You should go and find something to drink from the face of Madhumangala." And then go away. And then the bees go to Madhumangala, and he chastises Krishna, "Aren't you afraid of killing a Brahmin?" And then they fight and they play with each other and they run and they cry. And these pastimes that Krishna performed there was so, Krishna was so his involved with these pastimes that Brahma, seeing this, became completely bewildered. How is it possible? Because he is intelligence-based. So he thought, how is it possible that he's the Supreme Lord? Look at him. They're passing food back and forth and eating a little bit. "Yes, it is really good. You try it." "No, you try it." "Yeah." And they're all eating it, the food. And there he is wandering around with the food in his left hand, the pickles between his fingers, and this and that. So when approached through intelligence, naturally one is going to become bewildered. So specifically this particular pastime was so overwhelmingly bewildering because the Supreme Lord, captured by the love of his devotee, he Brahma could not understand this point, how the Supreme Lord is controlled by the prema, the love of his devotees. "Hi aswatantra ivan vipa." Lord Narayan tells Durvasa Muni that I'm not independent at all. I am dependent upon my devotees. I cannot do anything without their desire. So Brahma, with this type of powerful, omniscient intelligence, becomes bewildered by seeing this picnic. Is there a Hindi word for picnic? I know in Bengali it's picnic. They're always going on picnic, and they're always trying to push them away from Mayapur. So eat other things. Anyway, don't worry about it. It's okay. So Brahma decides that he wants to show his power a little bit, because there is some pride there. And it is due to that pride that he cannot pierce through the playful activities, the lila of Krishna, and see Krishna. So see these pastimes as they are. So there's some pride. And what is the opposite of pride? What is the opposite of pride? Humility. So that's actually what it takes. And therefore, Śrīla Sanatana Goswami Brihad Bhagavatamrita explains that dānya, or humility, and prema, they're actually the same. They're two aspects of the same thing. And the deeper our prema is, or the higher our prema is, then the deeper our humility must be. Or in the other way, the deeper the humility is for a devotee, true humility, the deeper his taking shelter of Krishna is, which is actual humility. The full taking shelter of Krishna, and therefore his prema increases in that way by Krishna's mercy. So Brahma, somehow or another, he wanted to show his own power, and at the same time test Krishna's power, because when he took away the calves first and then took away the boys, there's so many explanations of how he could possibly do this in Vrindavan, and the boys themselves were more powerful by thousands of times than Brahma. But he wanted to test Krishna's power. He didn't know what Krishna would do. He thought Krishna might, there were many options. He thought Krishna might come to him and beg for the boys back, or Krishna might perform some great mystical feat and just bring the boys back, or Krishna wouldn't have any idea what was going on and be bewildered. He didn't know what to expect. So he was completely bewildered, actually. Bewildered by specifically that pastime. Because it's bewildering. And we can say, well, I don't feel bewildered by it. And usually that's because, pardon me for saying it, but our consciousness is so dull. we don't think about things. We don't try to pierce it through. We don't see what we understand and what we don't understand. We just sort of go on with we float through life. We try our best that we float for life, sort of not this, not that. But if we think about it, that the unlimited Supreme Lord, who's so powerful, that universes emanate from this, just consider what that is for a moment, that universes effortlessly, mama ang satejo sambhava, it's all resting upon him, it's all emanating from him. And there he is, playing with his friends in the fields of Vrindavan and walking around like a village boy wearing no shoes, etc., etc., and all the characteristics of a village boy. How is it possible to understand he's the Supreme Lord? Not by, even if one has unlimited intelligence on the material level. The great scientists have so much intelligence, but they cannot pierce through these type of things. It takes something different than intelligence. Krishna hides it so no one can see. And then he reveals it to the devotees, because they are devotees. So if we want to understand Krishna, We actually have to become devotees or devotees of devotees. There has to be very much a shift in consciousness from trying to understand or trying to enjoy to trying to serve with devotion and becoming very humble. Did you come back? Good. What book do you have? What does it say on the cover? What does it say on the cover?
Yeah.
Index. Do you know why it says index on there? The EX stands for excellent. And in D, and then the D, in depth. It means if you go very deeply into understanding about Krishna, you will find the most excellent or wonderful of all things. Did you know it meant that? No? The most excellent of all things, of all things. But we have to go quite deep. So deep in the sense of that our consciousness becomes absorbed in Krishna. So it can't be done immediately. Did you just come back from Mayapur?
I got back on Saturday morning.
Did you go and come back?
Yeah.
And you're going again? Oh, you got back on Saturday morning.
I got back on Saturday.
Did you bring Mahaprasadam?
I did.
Oh, good. Very happy to hear that. Did you have a wonderful time?
It was beautiful.
Did you get some special mercy?
I should hope so. Always wonderful to be there.
Why is it wonderful to be there?
It's a very mystical and powerful place.
What do you mean by mystical?
There's so many unusual things that take place there that I cannot explain, but... Yeah, there's something very different about it. Different in the sense that I haven't experienced anything like it. Yeah.
The atmosphere is very special.
Yeah.
Was it hard for you to leave?
It was. I had a lump in my throat and a heavy heart.
So you left with your heart? You should leave it there.
Yeah.
Next time. What's that sound? Is it a frog of some kind?
It's not my kind. Could be. I thought I put on complete silence once we're on the weather.
Must be. It's good. Huh? So, how did Brahma test Krishna? So, he lured the calves away. He could not affect the boys at this point in Krishna's presence, but he lured, because the calves were away. So he lured them away. They were hungry, and they were continuously hungry. So he lured them far away. Now, of course, he can't do this unless Krishna allows him to do this, and not exactly Krishna, but Krishna's Yogamaya. So Srinivasa Goswami explains that this pastime, that Krishna does many things with one action. So Brahma wanted to test Krishna, but also Krishna desired a little bit of excitement, some unexpected excitement during lunch. then something wonderful would happen. So therefore Krishna's Satya Sankalpa and Lila Shakti and Icha Shakti, they all started working. And to arrange a very wonderful pastime, because Krishna does many wonderful things with one activity. So one of the wonderful things he's going to do is give all the cows and all the mothers and all the fathers in the village of Vrindavan a chance to have Krishna as their son. That's one of the wonderful things. And Krishna's going to have his exciting pastime. And he's going to show by this pastime that he's so powerful and that no one can pierce deeply into his nature unless he allows them to. And even the most intelligent, Lord Brahma, becomes bewildered. And not only do we see in this pastime Lord Brahma becoming bewildered, but we see even Lord Baladeva becoming bewildered. That he too cannot penetrate Krishna's internal energy and see what was taking place, what Krishna had done by expanding himself into boys and calves. But that's later. So, Brahma took away first the calves, and then when the calves were at a distance away, the cowherd boys, or we could say the calfherd boys, they were in anxiety because of their great affection for the calves. And Krishna said, "Don't interrupt your meal. Don't interrupt your eating. I myself will go and find them and bring them back." Now, when he left to find the calves, he couldn't find them. And at the same time, Brahma, wishing to test Krishna further, after stealing away the calves by the power of Krishna's yoga maya, and well, there are several explanations for what he did, then he also stole away the boys. And he brought them somewhere far away, and he put them to sleep. And Krishna, now here's where it becomes very, very interesting. Not that it wasn't interesting before. Now Krishna said, "Let me go and search for the calves. Don't disturb your enjoyment." Then carrying his yogurt and rice in his hand, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Chinvan Bhagavan Krishna, he immediately went out to search for the calves of his friends, to please his friends. This is Krishna. His reason for searching was, of course, there's many, many different levels, and his consciousness is impossible for us to understand. But he wanted to please his friends, because nothing other than devotional affection, as friends have devotional affection for Krishna, can please Krishna. Actually, in Vrindavan, the residents of Vrindavan, the nature of the way that they love Krishna, it captures Krishna and brings them under control. And Lord Brahma, in the next chapter, when he speaks about this, he's going to say something very wonderful. Esa gosham, esam gosha navasinam uttabhavan. That how is it that you are the one who is the sum total of all benedictions? Everything is within you. And if your nature is to give liberation and positions of datri to someone like Putin, who came just as in the vesh, in the dress of a devotee. If you make her a datri in the spiritual world, almost like your mother. Now, I'm wondering if there's any way, Brahma says, that you're going to be able to repay these Brijbasis who have given, who unlike Putana, who came in the dress only of a devotee, but had something completely different within her, a completely different mood. How are you going to repay these Brijbasis? What are you going to give them? They who have given everything to you, their lives, their wealth, their homes, their families, they have no thought of anything but you. They have no consideration of anyone but you. The only way that I see, Brahma said, that you would be able to reciprocate with them is that you give yourself to them. And this is what is going on in Vrindavan. And this is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the mood of Srimati Radharani, in the mood of the topmost of Brijbasis, was so captured by this mood of devotion so deep that it captures and controls the supreme, unlimitedly powerful, independent, supreme personality of Godhead. So Brahma, to please his friends, Krishna rather, began searching in all the mountains, the mountain caves, bushes, and narrow passages. What's the word, the Sanskrit word for a narrow passage here? Searched out. Dari kunja gavareshu. Adri dari kunja gavareshu. Just searching for these now. This is quite astounding because Krishna was unable to find the caves. He returned to the bank of the river, but there he was also unable to see the cowherd boys. Thus he began to search for both the caves and the boys as if he could not understand what had happened. And when Krishna, this is text 17, was unable to find the calves and the caretakers, the cowherd boys, anywhere in the forest, he could suddenly understand that this was the work of Lord Brahma. So this is astounding. He was searching and searching. He could not find them. How is it possible that Sarvangya Krishna, who knows everything, could not find them or could not understand what had happened? And then suddenly, he could suddenly understand this was the work of Lord Brahma. That means that prior to his suddenly understanding, he didn't understand. So what do you think about that? Now this is, if Brahma is omniscient, more or less, then what is Krishna? And how is it that he couldn't understand and suddenly he could understand? So what causes, that happens to us many times, that suddenly, and it's funny how it happened to me a few days ago, I couldn't find something. I thought I put it right on a desk and I looked everywhere on the desk, it wasn't there. And then I thought, it has to be there on the desk because I just put it there. So I looked back and there it was. Did that have happened to you, those kind of things? Where did it go? Who put it back? How did we get so hypnotized that we can't see things that are right in front of us? Very mysterious. Is that what happened to Krishna? Sabasyachambhuli salavistomatam smitam gyanam apanam. So for us, it is Krishna who gives knowledge, who gives remembrance, who gives forgetfulness. But for Krishna, who gives knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness? Does Krishna have a super soul? That's even more than him. A super, super soul? Well, that controls him in every way. In one sense, he does, but it's not a super, super, super soul. It's prema. It's love for Krishna. It controls him to such a degree that he's so absorbed in the mood of his cowherd, of his enjoying his cowherd boy picnic, that Yogamaya and the other shaktis of Krishna, they don't disturb his mood. But then, at some point, it's good for the lila, so Krishna starts remembering, because Krishna, yeah, because Krishna allows the lila shakti, to Yogamaya, to organize the lilas in Vrindavan, because otherwise he couldn't be surprised ever. If he always knew everything, it's like, it would be like always watching a movie that you've seen already. Life would be like that. And then you have to do that for eternity. So, like, it would be so boring. Being the unlimitedly powerful, all blissful, supreme personality of Godhead. So he of course, the consciousness of Krishna is impossible for us to understand. No one can understand it. But he allows his shaktis, independence, his energies, independence. And they perform these activities that enhance the lilas, which enhance Krishna's pleasure. Enhancing Krishna's pleasure means enhancing the intimacy of Krishna's dealing with his devotees, practically speaking, because that's what gives Krishna's pleasure. So suddenly he could understand this was the work of Brahma. So Srila Prabhupada says in his purport, although Krishna is Vishvavit, the know of everything happening in the entire cosmic manifestation, as an innocent child he showed ignorance of Brahma's actions, although he could immediately understand that these were the doings of Brahma. This pastime. So what does Prabhupada say here? As an innocent child he showed ignorance of Brahma's action, although he could immediately understand that these were the doings of Brahma. So he said two opposite things. As an ignorant child, an innocent child, he showed ignorance of Brahma's actions. But he could immediately understand that these were the doings of Brahma. So he didn't understand, and he did understand. So this is the achintya consciousness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this consciousness is meant for his pleasure and for the pleasure of the devotees, so that the pastimes can go on. This pastime is called Brahma Vimohana, the bewilderment of Brahma. Brahma was already bewildered by Krishna's activities as an innocent child. He was bewildered by the lila of his picnic. And now he would be further bewildered. So by the end of this chapter, the bewilderment of Brahma is complete. And before he wanted to test Krishna's potency, why do you test something to understand it? And by the end of the pastime, he's going to give up any hope, any thought, any consideration of understanding the unlimited potencies of Krishna and what Krishna is capable of doing. So that is the person that we're worshipping, who has unlimited potencies. And no one in existence, even Lord Baladev, is able to pierce through Krishna's potencies and understand him fully. Lord Brahma cannot. And we'll see relatively soon how Baladev also is unable to uncover what Krishna has done. Of course, this is on a completely transcendental level, and we can't understand that either. And we can't think that Baladeva is less than Krishna in any way. But yet Krishna's still the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna, Stu, Bhagavan, Sam, and Baladev is his, we could say, his only expansion. We could say his first expansion, or we could say his only expansion. Who is Krishna's first expansion? Yes. Do you like Balaram? Do you know another name for Balaram? Yes, very good. And you know a third name? Because Gaugacharya gave Balaram three names at the birth-giving ceremony at the Namkaran. First was Rama, and the other was Bala, so Balaram or Baladev. Do you know what the third name was that he gave him? Does anyone know the third name he gave him? Huh? Sankarsana. Sankarsana. Because Karsana means attract together. So he brought so many things. He brought together the two parts of the dynasty, of the Yadu dynasty, the Kshatriya part and the Vaishya part, Nanda Maharaj and Vasudev. He brought them together. So, we're going to hear about Brahma's further bewilderment by him getting a glimpse of Krishna's potency. And one could say that the glimpse he got was insignificant. It was only universes and Narayans and Krishna's unlimitedly potent. But it was enough to make him completely bewildered and banish from his consciousness any thought of him understanding Krishna. And he gave up all tendencies and desires to test Krishna. Text 18. Therefore, just to create pleasure both for Brahma and the mothers of the calves and cowherd boys. What are the mothers of calves called?
Cows.
Yes. And what are the mothers of cowherd boys called?
Horses?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Mothers. Just to create pleasure, Krishna Mudakartum Tan matrinam cha kasya cha ubaya itam atmanam chakre visva krid isvara. So he, Krishna, the creator of the entire cosmic manifestation, he expanded himself as calves and boys. Purport, Srila Prabhupada's purport. Although Brahma was already entangled in bewilderment, he wanted to show his power to the cowherd boys. But after he took away the boys and their calves and returned to his abode, Krishna created further astonishment for Brahma and for the mothers of the boys by establishing the lunch pastimes in the forest again and replacing all the calves and boys just as they had appeared before. According to the Vedas, ekam bahu sham. The personality of Godhead can become many, many millions upon millions of calves and cowherd boys. Krishna can become unlimitedly anything and still be a complete person and not be any less in potency. So he can become millions upon millions of calves and cowherd boys as he did to bewilder Brahma more and more. Continuing on text 19. By his Vasudev feature, Krishna simultaneously expanded himself into the exact number of missing cowherd boys and calves with their exact bodily features, their particular type of hands, legs, and other limbs, even their sticks and bugles and flutes, their lunch bags, and their particular type of dress and ornaments placed in various ways. Each boy, Krishna, expanded himself into an exact duplicate. Except for one difference. And that one difference, our acharyas say, make the boys that Krishna expanded himself as inferior to the original boys. Inferior means less than the original boys. Because naturally one would think that these were better than the original boys because they're Krishna. But the answer is say because there was one reason why they were inferior. There was one thing that they lacked. Do you know what it was?
Love for Krishna.
They lacked, no, but the other way.
The relationship.
Yes, but yes. Okay, keep going. We're getting there. What did they have that the duplicate didn't have? What did the original boys have?
Sons.
No. It's closer before. They had Krishna's affection. Krishna's affection was always raining down on them. And therefore, when Balaram understood what had happened, later on, Baladev understood what had happened, and he was so angry at Krishna. How could you let Brahma do this? And Krishna himself was missing the cowherd boys. His friend Sridham Sudham. He was missing them. Even though he had expanded himself into exact replicates, so to speak, with the same limbs, the same hands, that means all the lines on the hands, the same bugles and flutes, the same lunch bags, their particular type of dress and ornaments placed in various ways, their names, their ages and forms, and their special activities and characteristics. By expanding himself in this way, beautiful Krishna proved the statement, Samagra Jagat Vishnu Mayanam. Lord Vishnu was all pervading. But Krishna missed them. The individual boys. Chapter 8. We'll stop here. Because then, there's Prabhupada's purport that we'll read tomorrow, Krishna willing. And then, the next section will describe, I think 5 verses or so will describe the activities of Krishna in the form of the cowherd boys and calves. And it's quite wonderful. Interacting with the cows and the mothers and fathers, etc. Okay, we'll stop here. Any questions or comments? Tomorrow we Prabhupada's purport.
Is this one of the specialties of when Krishna comes to the earth planet is that he shows his childhood and growing up and the spiritual world is eternally 16? So do the residents in the spiritual world like always see Krishna as 16, or would the mothers sometimes remember like what Krishna looked like when he was small, or friends would remember when he was middle aged?
You mean are there cowherd boy pastimes in the spiritual world?
Well, no, I mean.
Well then how he's not going to be 16 when he's a cowherd boy.
Because I've heard that he's eternally 16, so is that for the, I mean, if they're in the cowherd girl's mood, would they always see Krishna 16 and the parents always see their child as being...
Well, the easiest way that I can understand these things is not is a little bit different from philosophically, and or a detailed question. It's that whatever facilitates the pastimes and the expanse of loving ecstasy of the residents of Vrindavan and Krishna's pleasure, that's what happens. And because Vrindavan is multifaceted, so Krishna can be eternally 16 and eternally this way and eternally that way, and the two conflict on the conceivable platform, but they can mutually exist on the inconceivable platform. I've heard it said, though, that all the different rasas, they're supportive of Madhurya rasa, and that's certainly true. Mm-hmm. But the different rasas still have their independent relationships with Krishna too, and they're not thinking, obviously, that this is supportive of the Madhurya rasa. But this is the viewpoint of someone who fully identifies with the mood of the gopis, something like that. Mm-hmm. So, Krishna consciousness really will defy it. It's like subjective objectivity. You don't see anything else other than what you see, and Krishna reciprocates with that fully. Mm-hmm. Do you want to say anything?
No, it's just it's very mysterious.
Yes, it's very mysterious. Of course, it's quite inconceivably mysterious. Yeah, but you have to watch it.
Because here we see people all think I'm the best, or I have to do this, and my religion is the best, and so many things, and they fight with each other. So we're all asking, okay, what is the platform where we can resolve all of this conflict and come to best? And then you get to this platform that's totally also subjective, but transcendentally subjective, insofar as that they all love Krishna in their individual ways, and he reciprocates, and they all feel that he's like this, you know, he's like this, he's like that. But the difference between the two planes is the intensity of their love. And I can hear the kind of seems like from here that the conflict keeps going on.
Individuality keeps going on. In the material world, everyone has individuality, but by the gift of Maya, everyone has their own little universe that they live in, sort of their own little bubble. And in the spiritual world, by the gift of Yoga Maya, everyone has their relationship with Krishna, with reality, because we're individuals.
Yeah, they clash. The universes are always in conflict with each other.
Because everyone wants to be in the center. But there, everyone agrees that Krishna's in the center.
So the individuality doesn't clash in the same way?
Certainly not in the same way.
So I was thinking, because it's a special feature, and like they glorify the baby form, I was thinking if you're in Vatsalya Rasa in the spiritual world, they must find it attractive to have Krishna just 1-year-old or 2-year-old. And if you're a friend, they must like sometimes hanker for Krishna to be 10 or 12 when he's not interested in girls at all. He's just muck around and have fun. And also he's got a softer form, which is more cuter, so they're
muck around and have fun.
Well, that's what they're doing.
Oh yeah?
Well, they're mucking around having fun.
Yeah.
Like
it's just spoken in that inimitable Aussie way.
That's what I'm an Aussie thought.
That's what they do. They just muck around and have fun, I guess.
Oh, it could be translated later on when the English language degrades. Make it understandable.
Yeah, there's no anxiety for the coward boys. The coward girls are always in anxiety and always crying, mm-hmm. and the coward boys are only having fun.
Mm-hmm. So then, it's been like the Krishna is eternally.
He's eternally many things. And he is the only one who understands reality completely. So the devotees don't want to, that's not their goal, to understand reality. They're not scientists in that sense. They just want to love Krishna and please him and serve him. But he's the only one who understands everything. Because we're tiny. Did you want to say something?
Just going to say the example from Krishna Balaram mentioned the wrestling arena. There are so many different classes of persons, so many different levels of devotees, and they're all seeing Krishna Balaram differently. I think it's mentioned even some unfortunate persons couldn't see Krishna at all. So simultaneously, they're all
reciprocating. One can ask whether Kamsa saw Krishna. So is he seeing Krishna? He's seeing the aspect of Krishna. But in that aspect, it's a reflection of the rasa. They're not tasting rasa. Yeah. Did you want to say something else?
I was thinking that Brahma was trying to test Krishna because he's intelligence-based, and at this particular point about advancement to Krishna consciousness, which is very minimal, we need our intelligence, and we need to hear and strengthen our intelligence, yet there just seems to be a part of us also.